do. Give me the sunshine, give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Are you ready? It's Saturday morning at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon and powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance.
The golf doctor, Charlie Epps, is in. The man who coaches PGA stud, Angel Cabrera.
Follow the golf doctor on Twitter, @thegolf_doctor.
Doctor, the golf doctor is in on Yahoo Sports Radio right now. With Charlie Epps, here's your host. From the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio, it's our very own scratch golfer. Sort of.
Hey, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
John Granato.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. As the man told you, I am right here and sitting next to the man, the legend, the guy who puts his name on the show, Charlie Epps. Charlie, what's up?
You know, it is the end of the golf season, and then it starts in a week.
I think that's something that really needs to be addressed. I know that these tournaments, they raise money and charity and all of that, but just like every sport, you need an off season. You need to get away. And, you know, that this goes toward FedEx Cup standings. And, you know, most of the players, now it's not like those guys don't have a chance and don't end up getting there anyway. But, you know, they're starting behind, you know, a little bit behind. And these guys that are in this fall season now, this winter season, really never, Jimmy Walker, I guess, is a guy who really came up and all of a sudden, wow, he's winning tournaments now. It carried over for him.
It benefited him.
Yeah, yes. But other than that, I mean, have we seen anybody that's really taken off because of this time of the year?
I haven't really seen an analogy of what players benefit from the first five tournaments in this year versus those people that don't play until the next year. There are over 42 events. And this is only five. It's just, you have the fries.com, you have Las Vegas, then you have a tournament over in Asia that's official money, and then you come back and you have the Mexican tournament, and then the last tournament of the year, the calendar year, is in Sea Island, Georgia, the McGladrey. So it keeps, you know, money in the professional's pocket. Especially for those guys that are struggling at the end. Sure, the good guys won't play in these five events, although Rory McIlroy has to play in the first event because he got if there's a conflicting tournament, and say if he goes over to Turkey and play and there's a tournament going on here, he's got to get a release from the event that's being played here in the United States on the PGA Tour. So this is a makeup for that. Tiger Woods was going to play in this first event, the Fries, in Silverado in California, but now because of his back surgery, and he won't play until next year, but they have to make up if they miss, you know, if they play in a non-PGA tournament that is the same week as a PGA tournament.
We got to make it up somewhere.
Yeah. Oh. So whether this is right or wrong, it is what it is, and the PGA Tour had its strongest year this past year, according to its commissioner, Tim Finchem. Everything is pointing really forward. Majority of the sponsors are long-term sponsors, and so the future looks good for the PGA Tour.
You know, I found it interesting. It does look great. You know, it's great to see young guys like Rory and Jason Day and Jordan Spieth, who won the Player of the Year. No surprise there that he was going to win that. That it's in great hands, and I think people are really excited about golf again because we see these guys. But I saw an interesting stat, too. You know, Jordan won $12 million this year. Well, back in 1985, leading money winner won about $571,000. Then In 95, 10 years later, it was 1.7 million. Then in 2005, it was over 10 million. It was Tiger Woods, over 10 million. So that huge jump in that 10 years, this year it was 12 million. So we got, you saw how golf grew because of Tiger Woods in that 10-year span. I don't know that we're going to be able to see anything like that ever again. Even though these guys are great, it was still a record for Jordan and what he got. The difference between him and 10 years ago isn't much at all.
Yeah.
Whereas Tiger made it fivefold, sixfold.
Yeah.
What he won.
Because now the tournaments are average about $6 million a year, and to have a $6 million tournament, say like the Shell Houston Open, they have to have a budget about $10 to $12 million to make it all work out right, and that is a lot of money for a lot of sponsors here locally.
Mm-hmm.
That we have the Texans, we have the Rockets, we have Dynamo, we have a lot of competition for the dollars, and so I think they're probably peaked out now.
Yeah. And a lot of it's about the TV money too.
It's
so whether or not those purses are going to escalate, we may have seen Tiger. I don't know that we'll ever see anything like it. That jump in popularity that Tiger gave.
Because they can't have any more tournaments than there really are,
yeah.
And the budgets they're at a peak. Because at one time a couple years ago, Fincham was saying that you have to have a minimum purse of $7 million, and he never got to that threshold.
Yeah.
So it's settled down, but it's settled down in a good way. Professional golf is doing very well. Now, golf in general is on the upswing. We're seeing more rounds of golf played.
I think we're seeing, obviously 2008 was a really bad time because of the economy.
Right.
So, golf is going to be one of the first things to go.
Exactly right. And so so we keep moving forward, and you have ladies golf. The LPGA is in good shape. We just experienced the Solheim Cup, which was quite a victory on the United States part. They finally got an attitude to where they really wanted to go and win.
Yeah,
and because
it
took
Suzanne Pedersen being a
pissed everybody off.
being a pistol.
But that just shows you in sport, I don't care who you are, you have to have a swagger, you have to have an attitude, and you can't be, the Walker Cup, we lost the Walker Cup, and the captain of the Walker Cup, his philosophy, just go out and have fun.
Is that it?
That's
not why we're here.
No.
That's not why we're here.
We're here to win.
We want to win. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Suzanne Pedersen, by the way, apologized this week.
Yes, and it was a good apology, but there's still a lot of people that really are upset. But it's just part of sport. It's unfortunate, but her apology I take for face value, and I was glad to see her do that. And at the heat of the moment, sometimes that happens.
Yeah. Well, it called into question her, I don't want to say classiness, but it certainly was a move that's very ungolf-like, wasn't
it? Well, the most famous putt that was conceded in the history of matches, the Ryder Cup, Jack Nicklaus playing with Tony Jacklin at Muirfield, he gave Tony Jacklin a putt of right at 3 feet that if he missed it, the United States would win.
Mm-hmm.
The cup. Sam Snead was the captain, and Sam Snead's old school, and he was really upset that Nicklaus gave him the putt. But it was in sportsmanship. It was, Jack said, I didn't want to have that way on Tony.
Jacklin.
So that was.
If he misses that putt forever, he'll always be the
exactly
guy that missed
right.
that putt to win the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, and then as he moved forward at the War on the Shore, where Hale Irwin really was in bad shape on the last hole, and Bernard Langer had about a 5-footer, and he missed it to win the United States to win the Ryder Cup. So it goes back and forth, but sports a lot of times will produce this kind of action, and you learn from it and move on.
Yep. And she apologized, and hey, thanks to her, the U.S. got it in gear and, and won the Solheim Cup.
That's exactly right.
It happened for the good girls.
You know, and seeing that we're talking about the cup, Tom Watson was honored by the PGA of America. They offered him to be inducted into the Hall of Fame of the PGA of America, which is the association that I belong to of golf professionals, 28,000 strong, and he turned them down.
Well, Tom has had I imagine he's a little bitter these days.
He was a little upset the way the PGA treated his friend and the president of the PGA at the time had come out and said a few things that were inappropriate, but nothing, nobody died from it.
Right.
And they kicked him out.
And they canned him, right. And they canned him. So he said, that's it. I'm not.
Thank you.
Thank you, but no.
Yeah.
Well,
then he just went and finished second in the senior event in Pebble Beach, shot 66. That's 66.
That's not too bad.
No.
He can still go.
Tom.
He can still go. All right, 8:13 here in Houston on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. Mm. And we'll tell you about, it's coming up here. Your little tournament's coming up, the International Pro-Am.
That's exactly right. December the 7th down in Puerto Vallarta.
How about that? It's not far away, Charlie.
Man, and it's going to be beautiful weather, just like we have here in Houston today.
Oh, my gosh, dude, this is perfect today.
One day a year, that's not bad.
Not too bad. I got up this morning and I said, well, it's cool out. What the heck happened here? Where am I?
Chilly.
I'm not sure where I woke up this morning.
Yes.
In Houston, Texas, where it's just beautiful today. Get your golf clubs out, everybody, because it's going to get cold in a hurry. But this is perfect out there. It's 14 past here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance, and the International Pro-Am. Now,
it's
a little late,
up.
Isn't it? A little late to join, or you can still get in?
We still got room for a couple more teams. But it's really full. We're going to have a great championship. But the 7th through the 12th of December at Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, Bill Sitton and his staff are putting on the 27th edition of this event that raises money for charity, for scholarships, for the Southern Texas PGA. It's a pro-am where you play four rounds of golf on three beautiful golf courses, a Nicklaus Golf, a Weisskopf golf course designed up in the hills overlooking the Bay of Puerto Vallarta, and then the Marina course, which is a beautiful golf course down on the beach of Puerto Vallarta. And we stay at the Casa Magna Marriott, which is, to me, one of the neat hotels in the world as far as hospitality, accommodations. The staff is excellent. The food is great. The pool is just huge, right next to the ocean, so you can go back and forth. You got good service on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a massage on the beach.
What?
Yes, a massage with a margarita and some guacamole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and they go into the spa, and you can have the guacamole rubbed all over your face.
Yeah, if that's what you want.
Yeah, but it's a great way to reward oneself for a hard year of work, which I know all of our listeners are great, great business people that enjoy working and having a good time. So log on to PuertoVallartaProAm.com. Miss Jackie will get you all the information. You can see the website and see all the people and the fun, and it's my favorite week of the year.
That's great stuff. So you want to compete, InternationalProAm.com.
Yes.
You get three of your buddies. You'll find a pro for them if they need one.
Well, I'm trying to get Jordan Spieth to come.
You are?
Yeah.
Yeah, he might be busy.
He needs time off.
That's what he needs to do, play golf. That's a good question. We go play golf when we go on vacation. Yeah. What do the pros do?
You know, there's pros that play no golf.
Yep.
And then there's guys that just enjoy social golf, and they'll go play with their buddies.
Really?
And then, although Jordan, he's going to go down to Australia and all that. But,
he needs to get away from it and go have some fun.
Player of the year.
He likes to have fun, too, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yes. That's good.
I had the pleasure of last year. He had just turned 21, and he had spent a week at in Las Vegas.
In Vegas.
Him. Yes, he could hardly talk.
That was great. I love hearing that.
So he's human.
He's enjoying it. He should enjoy.
Player of the year at age 22, win 5 tour tournaments. He actually brought home $22 million this year, John.
That's a lot of money. Plus, what Under Armour is going to be paying him, Charlie? Goodness gracious.
He owns the company.
Yeah. I mean, and as well he should. He's certainly one of the faces. They've got a few. I was over at in Baltimore. We go to the Under Armour pub where it is, and spectacular. But he's one of the giant pictures up there as soon as you see it, as soon as you go in.
AT&T?
Yeah. Yeah.
Spokesman, you know, they just don't hire you for peanuts.
No, they do some. He's going to be. I'm not worried about Jordan Spieth's money. It's going to be fine. But it's great to see. Great to see that, you know, a young man that's as grounded and just a great kid as he is.
How about the year that he had?
About it. Pretty good, huh?
You know, who would have thought that Rory would finish third or fourth? Because you got Jason Day that also had an incredible run of golf that was unbelievable. And then to you know, and everybody thought there for a while that Jason Day was going to be player of the year because of you know.
If he'd have won the FedEx Cup, that would have been that argument,
that would have
no?
been very good. But Jordan just stepped up. And, yep. I mean, that 9 holes the last day on Sunday, that I've never seen a guy putt.
Unbelievable. And well, that's the difference between him and everybody else now, isn't it?
When he made that 47-foot putt in
yeah. And Stenson standing there, right, and he's right next to the hole. He's like, what the bleep?
classic look. But it just shows you what dedication and well-rounded. And this is what I want the parents that are listening to us that have children is you can't just focus on one sport at the age of 12, 14. Let them experience everything else to develop their motor skills, whether it be volleyball, whether it be softball, whether it be baseball, football. I think Nicklaus was the same way. And when he was a young boy, he experienced everything. So let your kids grow up. Don't homeschool them just because you want them to play a lot of golf. Let them get out and have social skills.
Yeah, that's important.
Very well-rounded. And you look at Jordan at his age, 22, he's handling it all.
Yeah.
And now he's, you know, they're over with our friend Bill Harmon, the special assistant to Jay Haas.
Yeah, I haven't been here the last couple of weeks because of football, but I wanted to ask you, we're up against it here, but on the other side, what Billy's thinking, how great
it is?
He's got
uniforms.
He's got uniforms.
Yeah, he sent me his.
That's how I was wondering whether or not he'd be uniformed.
Oh, no. He is there. He's got them already ironed, and it's a week out. And he sent a picture of his first class seat going to Korea.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Billy
Harmon. Did Robin go too?
You know, I don't think so.
No? That would be neat if they could all experience that. Okay, so we're at the bottom of the hour. We're at the halfway point of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance, and the InternationalProAm.com. Southern Texas PGA is also a sponsor. We'll talk about them on the other side right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour,
featuring Bill Harmon
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
Thank you, John and Charlie in Houston. The Quicken Loan Studios being joined by our good friend, Bruce Davidson. What's up, Bruce? How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We are doing great. We were just talking during the break here. We're having City Amateur, Bruce, and you remember Cole Hammer, who qualified for the U.S. Open this year, the youngster out of Kincaid. He's tied for the lead as we head into the weekend here. How awesome is that?
No surprise.
He's a good player,
huh? No surprise.
How about that?
Very good player. I had the pleasure of working with him from when he was 5 years old until last year, John, so I know exactly how good he is.
Yeah, well, you've done a heck of a job with him. He's just
he's now with Kevin Kirk, and that's great because, as you know, Kevin is the coach of Jonathan Vegas and Patrick Reed, and it's really good for he can go to the next level. So I'm very happy for Cole and for Kevin.
Bruce, it's Charlie.
Hello, Charlie. Good morning.
How are you?
Doing great. I'm Houston, actually, guys.
How are
nice
you
to be
really?
Back.
Excellent.
You came a perfect weekend, huh?
Well, it wasn't really looking like a good weekend to stay in the Carolinas, was it?
Yeah. No. Your golf course could be a little underwater, right?
You know, Charlie, we're okay. We got some rain, but we didn't get what Charleston got. So, and, you know, rain's good for grass. So, golf tours are just like farmers. We're never happy with the weather, are we? It's either too wet or too dry.
Well, this week, Tim Fitchum came out with a statement saying that the PGA Tour never had a better year than this year for different reasons. We had a great year with the champions and in 20 and under. I mean, 20-year-olds have dominated the scene with Jason Day, with Jordan Spieth and Rory. Moving forward, you know, I think it's in pretty good shape. Now, at this time, the web.com is completing its schedule and basically finally awarding the last 25 tour cards for next year. And as you mentioned, Jonathan Vegas, now here's a guy that's won on the tour. He missed the cut this weekend. He won't be able to play the PGA Tour unless he, as a past champion, he gets special invitations. He'll be able to play the web.com tour. And I know you've always, you know, really were, you know, for the PGA Tour school process of getting your card if you've had a bad year. Are you still opposed with what the system they're using with the web.com, where you get 25 tour cards, the top 25 money winners for the year, and then the next 25 are rewarded during this kind of like a playoff season, and the guys can move on? Lucas Glover, who would have lost his card, is in great position to get his tour card back. Are you still opposed to that system?
Charlie, I'm not sure that the listener really cares if I'm opposed to it or not, but I will give you my platform. If you look at the Dunhill Cup right now, you got Paul Dunn and Jimmy Mullen. Both just came off of the Walker Cup, by the way. And they were leading or are leading or were leading at some point this weekend. If they wanted to play in America and they couldn't get sponsors invites, which I'm not really for sponsors invites, to be honest, because I think that looks after the guys who know the rich guys, but it doesn't look after the little guy. If they wanted to play golf in America, they'd have to go to web.com, because Fincham's saying they have to learn to play on the web.com before they can get to the PGA Tour. I have a problem with that. And I have a problem with guys staying out there forever because they're rewarding too many spots. It's an unusual career, Charlie, that lasts 25 years, like Davis Love's. But we all know there have been guys hanging around the PGA Tour for years who shouldn't have been playing it, because there are guys out there on web.com better. And interestingly enough, there was an interview on television yesterday with one of the guys, web.com. He said, well, you know, this tour is so loaded, prize money is top heavy, but unless you finish, you have to go for a top five finish. And this guy's made 8 cuts out of 21. But because he's had 4 top tens, he's in the top 25. Well, the system is not. Fincham is going to pat himself on the back because he's that type of guy. Look at his salary. Look at his perks. Look what he's doing. He's looking after himself, and and they pull the ladder up. So no, I'm not. I you can call me a socialist, but I don't think golf's the type of game that you should get in because you're a past champion. You should get in because you're a sponsor's invite. I think there should be qualifying, and the best player that week should play.
Bruce Davidson, master instructor, professional. Master professional with us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. He's in Houston hanging out. You know, I was thinking this morning, guys, how Billy must be doing. You got a picture from him of when he was getting on his plane.
He showed me his picture of his first class seat going over to Korea, Bruce. How about that? And then,
he should be.
On Facebook, he showed all the his uniform. He's got 5 pair of khaki pants.
Everybody should have 5 pair of khaki pants.
And then he ironed everything, and he showed a picture of his wardrobe up on hanging up.
Billy likes the iron. I was doing a school with him at Carnegie Club a few years ago, and I hear this noise like at 5 in the morning, and Billy's up ironing his uniform for the day.
I'm so excited for him,
but,
though.
But he is the special assistant to Jay, and he has a lot of input. And, you know, he and Jay are so close, and Billy has a great perspective. He knows the players. And they also had where Jim Furyk had to withdraw because of a sore wrist, and so they put in J.B. Holmes. So that's another, you know, thing they have to deal with, who they're going to pair with whom. But Jim Furyk is going to be a assistant captain. He's going over there today.
He should be.
So it's going to be a fun competition. But I really feel that the rest of the world, you know, with Jason Day, has a good chance of winning.
Yeah, how you breaking this one down, Bruce?
America by a landslide.
Really? They got some good players over there, though. But but this team competition thing, they have not shown any camaraderie, the world team. You know,
personally, I think too much is made of that. You know, the European camaraderie is not what's won the Ryder Cup. They played better. And I think the rest of the world team, if you look at it, there are some good players, but the depth of the American team.
But see, they're not playing all the players in all the matches now. Nick Price got his way, and they're only, you know, going to play a certain amount of players, and so they have to sit people out.
Right.
Like the, you know, like the Ryder Cup.
Right.
So I think that's going to have an impact.
But he didn't have the depth, and got it done. It was pretty good by him.
The last time, think about this, the last time the rest of the world won was outside the United States. When they went to South Africa, they tied. They won in Australia. So once again, they're off of foreign soil, and this could cause that, you know, that victory.
You know, Bruce, you said that, I agree with you, although inspiration sure is something. That Solheim Cup proved to me that there is something to it more than just playing well. It's having the attitude to go and win.
Yeah, and I called that one wrong. You asked me, and I thought the Europeans would win, and I think it looked like the Europeans were going to until the concession gate incident. And that maybe inspired the American. But, you know, it's good. It doesn't matter if it's soccer or football or anything else. If one team continually wins, then everyone loses interest. So it would probably be in the best interest of the President's Cup if the international team did win this time around. So,
yeah, well, historically that Ryder Cup was pretty one-sided.
Well,
and then,
you know,
all of a sudden, what the heck happened?
Who would ever thought that in the Ryder Cup that Ian Poulter would be one of the driving forces behind, the victory in Chicago, because of he's got an attitude, he's got a chip on his shoulder in that, you know, he came out of the pro shop. Everybody told, you know, he was a 5 handicap and he didn't have a chance. And look at the heights that he's achieved. I mean, that to me is really quite a story. I hate it, but I'm jealous. You know.
But Charlie, isn't that the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup? It's probably, if you've talked to, and I know we all have, guys who have played. I remember Paul Laurie told me when he was on the first tee at Brookline that his knees were shaking. And it wasn't just hands shaking. His knee, he didn't think he could hit it. He thought he was going to physically miss the ball.
Yeah. Well,
he just won the Open Championship. So, I mean, playing at that level, that's the highest pressure, no?
The first Ryder Cup that Freddie Couples went to, we were up at the Hills of Lakeway, and he's working with Dick at the time, and, you know, Freddie back then was, you know, really nonchalant. And Dick kept saying, you know, Freddie, you have no idea the pressure you're going to be in. Ah, Dick, it's no big deal. You know, I'm just going to watch television all week.
And then?
He came home, and he said it was unbelievable. I mean, it changed. It really changed Freddie. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun. Billy is going to be blogging on Toscano.com or wherever you go to blog and to get his opinion
cool.
Find out behind the scenes.
Toscano.com.
Yes.
Oh, cool. That's neat. Yeah. Well, I want to definitely got to see what he's thinking. I just think it's such an honor to be a part of it. Bruce, what's the best competition that you've ever been a part of?
Oh, as a coach, to go to the Masters with Mark Amira for so many years is fantastic, you know. The Open Championship, obviously, because I'm over there with Mark. It's also when you're turning up with a past champion, it's terrific to be part of it. So
great.
Yeah. I played in the PGA Cup team, which is the United States Golf Pros against the Great Britain Ireland, and that was really a great experience.
Yeah, how nervous were you?
Oh, I was. It was nerve wracking. It was. I mean, you're playing. You know, it's the scene. You're playing with with buddies, and you're playing with for your country, and playing against the guys from over there who I knew quite a few of them, and it was fun. It was really one of my highlights of my career, and then the parties afterwards. I mean, we destroyed the place. It looked like a frat house. I mean, but it was fun and games.
That's great. Great stuff. All right, 43 past the hour. We got Bruce Davidson with us here, master instructor.
We'll
Charlie
talk
Epps.
About Cole.
Yeah,
when we come back, and how Bruce, went through his years of
right
of
those
maturity.
Formative years, yeah. Absolutely, and what to do. And that kid, he certainly is. He is turning out to be all that. He's in Houston, and he is tied for the lead in the. In the city amateur. So good stuff. 44 past the hour here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
This segment is brought to you by the Southern Texas PGA and its golf professionals from all over South Texas, promoting and teaching and running the golf courses and making golf a better game. If you want to get your children involved with the game, log on to stpga.com. Find out about the Southern Texas PGA Foundation, its medalist program, all the tournaments it runs for the juniors across our beautiful state of Texas. The Southern Texas PGA, Mike Ray and his staff do a wonderful job, and they just want to make sure that everybody has a chance to play the game. So log on to Southern Texas PGA and get involved with golf and let the professionals of the game teach you what to do and how to play. But, John, that's, the Houston Golf Association does a wonderful job promoting the game, running the Shell Houston Open, the First Tee, and the City Amateur, which
Cole Hammer is tied for the lead at 2-under at the City Amateur. And, Bruce, you worked with him for years. Charlie and I were talking about it a little bit earlier. When you see somebody that's special like that, how do you hone the game that the kid loves, and yet keep him well-rounded? I think that's one of the things that might be one of the hardest things. You've had kids that have played major college athletics, Bruce, and you want them to be well-rounded. They obviously want to play the sport that they specialize in, but keeping them well-rounded is an awful difficult job, isn't it?
Yeah, keeping a kid well-rounded is more to do with parenting than a golf coach, I would think. But his parents in particular, Greg and Allison Hammer, both past champions of River Oaks, by the way. Great. So it came from a good bloodline in terms of golfing ability and a very good bloodline in terms of parenting, because his parents are terrific people. I think with Cole, I'd rather talk about his golf swing because I feel like I know more about that. And I think Billy would say the same thing, like his dad used to say. Mr. Harmon said, the only thing he can really do with talent is mess it up. So from a very young age, it was apparent that this boy was going to be a good player as long as no one messed him up. So I think I did a pretty good job of not letting him mess himself up or have anybody else mess up. And he was always a kind of like a little Scotty dog, man. He was tenacious. He even when he was a little kid, he wanted to play up with the older guys, and he wouldn't go away. You know, he couldn't get to the par fours and two, but he'd chip and putt you to death. Mm-hmm. And I just made sure that his fundamentals were correct, because I think any PGA professional worth his salt would have done, and kept him on track when he went off track. And his swing changed a million times. I remember telling his dad, his dad would call me and say, oh, he's a little cross the line today, or he's laid off and his club looks open, and I'd say, Greg, he'd let his swing change. He's still finding his swing. He's still experimenting. Just keep him shallow. And I kept him shallow, or tried to keep him shallow, because as a little guy, you can't hit down on the ball and get any distance. So I tried to always keep him shallow so he could hit it up in the air as far as he could. And I knew at some point in time that I would have to turn him over to someone who could spend more time with him than I was going to be able to. It wasn't fair to him. And actually, he was the first call that I made when I decided I was going to leave River Oaks. I called Cole and tell him I wanted to talk to him.
Wow.
There's kids that are special, and the first one that comes to mind was Scott Verplank, that came in from Dallas to see Dick because of his grandparents were members there, and he went on to a great junior career, he went on to a great collegiate career, and then went on to a professional career. And he was the same way. He was tenacious. He was determined. And then you have Jordan Spieth that all of a sudden what he has done this year, captivating not only here in the United States but worldwide, his comportment, his demeanor, his way of handling things is unbelievable. And it has a lot to do with his parents. There's no doubt about it, and showing him the way, John. And you experienced that with your son.
Bruce, how much did you work with his head? And, you know, how much of it is, you know, obviously his swing you worked with a lot, but how about teaching him how to win, too?
I think you learn how to win. I mean, I still play myself a little bit, and I told him a lot of stories about the mistakes I made and what I wished I had done, and he had an opportunity. He was better. I mean, he's better. Actually, Charlie, I think he's way better than Scott Verplank was, with all respect to Scott. Although Scott did win a tournament as an amateur, it'll depend. You know, the college years for Cole Hammer are going to be very determinant as to if he wants to be a tournament professional. And he signed for Texas extremely early. Stanford were really playing hardball. They were talking to me or calling me because they weren't allowed to talk to him. But he wanted to play for UT, and good for him. And Coach Fields was happy. And like I said, I think he's in good hands with Kevin Kirk, who I think is a wonderful instructor, by the way. And he's used to working with Patrick Reed and all those big guys, so he's good. And I think Cole just taught himself how to be good. He's got a wonderful bunker game. I mean, it's maybe the best I've ever seen, up with Seve and Olazabal. Or it was at one point in time. I can't see what it is now, but it was pretty good. Kid's a good player.
Scott Verplank had one really incredible thing, is that he had childhood diabetes.
Yeah.
And he fought through that as a young man all his life, and even as he went into the professional ranks and went on to trying to play 20 to 30 tournaments a year, by the end of the year, he'd wear down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And even now as a senior player, which is hard to believe that we're watching him play senior golf, he has had some injuries, partly due to his diabetes, but a great professional. The thing that happens with juniors, and Davis Love Jr., taught his son well, but he also made sure that during his growing spurts that he had the clubs fit to him. That's really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're running out of time here. Great catching up with you, Bruce. We really appreciate it. We got the President's Cup this weekend. Next weekend, it's going to be a lot of fun, and can't wait for it. And we will obviously be talking about that, hopefully hear from Billy and get his insight as well. As always, Bruce, great talking to you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Bruce.
Welcome,
we'll see
guys.
You.
Have a good day.
Bruce Davidson right here on the Charlie F's Golf Hour. Brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Great stuff. That goes too fast, Charlie.
John, it does. Thank you very much, and have a good week, and we'll keep doing this.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week, everybody.